you shall command. You know, we need to be careful to follow God's orders. When he commands something, when he tells us, gives us a word, you know, he gives us A, B, C, and D to do. And we think we just need to do A, B, and C and don't have to do D. And it doesn't work like that. You know, if he tells us to do A, B, C, and D, we have to do A, B, C, and D. It says, when we obey God, there are showers of blessings. When we disobey, there are consequences and punishments. You know, going through the Torah, that's what I got out of it. You know, just going through it about his commandments. You know, if we do what he says, it's blessings and blessings upon blessings. But the minute or the second that we decide to go against and not to do what he says is when we start going through things. And it's so easy, just like Saul, it's so easy for us to put the blame on somebody else when we're going through something. That's just our nature. It's put it off on somebody else. But instead, we should just be like what David said, I and only I sinned against you. You know, I want to read Proverbs 10:17. It says, he is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. And that's when we find ourselves in a totally opposite of what God is saying, is when we not heeding his instruction, when we're not following his reproof. You know, and as going through the Torah in Exodus, the 28, you know, God was given the commandments. And it was given a command, and there was certain things, and they had to do it exactly the way he was saying it. You know, it says in 28:5, it says, they shall receive gold, blue, purple, and scarlet yarns and fine twinted line. They couldn't use red. They couldn't use black. They couldn't use white. They had to use gold, blue, purple, and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, purple, scarlet yarns, and a fine twined linen, skillfully worked. It shall have two shoulder pieces attached to its two edges, so that it may be joined together, and a skillfully woven band on it. It shall be made like it. It shall be made like it, and be of one piece with it, of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen. Verse 31, you shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. It shall have an opening for the head in the middle of it, with a woven binding around the opening, like the opening in a garment, so that it may not tear. On its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet yarns around its hem, with bells of gold between them. A golden bell a golden bell and a pomegranate around the hem of the robe, and it shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and it shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before Yahweh, and when he comes out, so that he does not die. So, you know, he had to wear it going in, and he had to wear it coming out. He couldn't just put it on going in and decide to take it off when he was in there and just come out. He had to wear it going in and coming out, because if he didn't, there was a consequence. He would die. So he had to follow that, what the exact way he had to do it, the way the Lord told him. And in verse 40, it says, for Aaron's sons, you shall make coats and sashes and caps. You shall make them for glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him, and shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. You shall make for them linen undergarments to cover their naked flesh. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs, and they shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they go into the tent of meeting. and when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, lest they bear guilt and die. And this shall be a statute forever for him and for his offsprings after him. And in chapter 30, verse 10, it says, Aaron, well, just back up a little bit. Let's start with 7. It says, and Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it. A regular incense offering before Yahweh throughout your generation. You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering. And you shall not pour a drink offering on it. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement, he shall make atonement for it once in the year throughout your generation. It is most holy to Yahweh. He had to do it once a year. He couldn't do it twice a year. He couldn't do it quarterly. He couldn't do it once a month. Why? Because it would have never been holy to Yahweh. He had to do it once a year in order for it to be holy to Yahweh, in order for him to accept it. And in Ezekiel 43... For 7 days you shall provide daily a male goat for a sin offering, also a bull from the herd and a ram from the flock, without blemish shall be provided. 7 days shall they make atonement for the altar and the cleanse it, and so consecrate it. And when they have completed these days, then from the 8th day onward, the priest shall offer an altar on the altar your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, declares the Lord Yahweh. You know, that's a bull, a flock, a ram from a flock without blemish, just specific things that they had to do. You know, it's not like I say, well, I couldn't get a bull today, I couldn't get a ram today. In order for them to be accepted, in order for the Lord to accept it, they had to do exactly what he said. And here we're going to talk about Saul. In 1 Samuel 15, 2 through, we're going to start with verse 3. It says, now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both men, women, child, infant, ox, and sheep, camel, and donkey. He told them to kill everything, not to take nothing. Verse 7. And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction. The word of Yahweh came to Samuel, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Saul was angry, and he cried to Yahweh all night. And Samuel was angry. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And he was told, Samuel, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said to him, blessed be to you, Yahweh. I have performed the commandment of Yahweh. And Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to Yahweh your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop, and I will tell you what Yahweh said to me this night. And he said to him, speak. And Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? Yahweh anointed you king over Israel, and Yahweh sent you on a mission and said, go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of Yahweh? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh. I have gone on the mission of which Yahweh sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people. Just look how easy. But the people. That's the first thing we want to say. But them. But them. He said, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to Yahweh, your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is that sin of divination. Divination? And presumption is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the law of Yahweh. He has also rejected you from being king. You know, just he wanted him to kill everything. But just like some things in our lives, we want to just get rid of the bad, which we don't. We want to keep what we think is good. When God is telling us, no, you got to get rid of that also. That's going to stop. That's going to stop you. That's going to hinder you. But in our eyes, no, that's not as bad as, I guess we think we know better than what God knows. And I mean, we know that's a lie for off top. But, you know, we don't want to, we come here and we say, you know, we praising him. We, you know, lifting our hands, offering sacrifice, offering our praise to him. But yet, we don't want to get rid of everything that he's telling us to get rid of. And that's sin. We're sinning. That's rebellion. We're being rebellious. And they said rebellion is sin. You know, I don't want to find myself being rejected by Yahweh. I mean, to be rejected from him, that's a lonely, lonely place. And I know we don't want to find ourselves there. And Samuel said to Saul in verse 26, he says, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh has rejected you. And in Philippians 4, 10 through 20, we're going to read 10 through 13 and then 19 and 20. It says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And that's what I want to. I want to learn in every situation, no matter what situation I'm in, I can be content as long as I keep abiding by his commandments and following his rules. It says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to be abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty of hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And 19, and my God. This is the key verse that we need to highlight this. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Yeshua HaMashiach. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, that's what, instead of blaming, when we're going through something, blaming people, we just need to realize that the God we serve will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glories. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, and just going along with the Torah, just going through some scriptures, you know, there's consequences for, as blessings and consequences for disobeying God. And in Deuteronomy 28, I mean, you can read this whole chapter, I think 68 verses, but I just got a couple of them I want to point out. It says, now, 28:1, now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. In verse 2, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. And it lists in verse 6, you know, there's a 3-6 list blessings. It says, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall be when you go out. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. The consequences for disobedience in verse 15. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. In 19, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. This is God's word. This is Yahweh telling us, if you disobey me, these are the curses. If you obey me, these are the blessings. We don't need to blame nobody when we're going through something. But it's so easy to blame somebody instead of just getting in his word. And you can read right here and say, okay, oh, well, this is why I'm having this problem. This is why I'm having these troubles, because I'm not obeying his word. And in 45, it says, all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you will not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Ephesians 5:6. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I want to read verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Immoral. violating moral principles, not conforming to the patterns of the conduct usually accepted or established as consistent with principles of personal and social ethics. In Luke 11:28, but he said, on the contrary, this is Jesus speaking, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We can say we love him all day long, but what are we doing? How are we living to show that? Are we keeping his commandments? Are we abiding? Are we following his statutes, his laws, his precepts? Are we abiding by his word? Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, and that's what we needed. That's what we need. We need a renewing of our mind. You know, just like Brother Troy said that Thursday night, you know, just we need to repent. We need to repent. And the last one I'm going to read, this is definitely for our church. I really do believe that we need to highlight it in our Bible. Hebrews 13:15-17. You know, I came across this and I was hesitant about even. I was like, maybe I shouldn't read it. I don't know. Maybe I should. But, you know, when the Lord deals with you, when your heart go to pounding, you know you better do it. In Hebrews 13:15-17, it says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Whoever has the NASB, you know how they got the little title? It says God-pleasing sacrifices. So, you know, we want to please God. Obey our leaders. Obey our leaders. And that's all I have for tonight. That's what I got out of the Torah reading, just to follow his commandments. You know, if he said, do it, do it. Do it like he said. Don't do it part of what he said. We have to do it exactly the way he said it in order for us to be successful, in order for us to please him. We have to do exactly what he tells us. We can't do some of it or just do a part of it or just do a little bit of it. We have to do everything and just the way he said it, and in order for him, for us to be obedient to him. And, you know, I have a song that I want to play before we leave, if y'all got five more minutes. You might have heard it. I listened to it for about a week now, and it's called Withholding Nothing. You know, I played it over and over and over again, and it does something, because, you know, I just want to, every day when I listen to it, every day when I listen to it, going to work, coming home, or at work, Lord, I don't want to hold on to nothing that I don't need to be holding on to. Whatever you tell me to get rid of, I want to get rid of it. I don't want to hold on to nothing, because I want to be pleasing and honor. Everything I do, I want to please and honor you in everything I say, the way I act, the way I treat others. And I just let this song minister to you. Just listen to it, and I believe it's going to minister to you.
With heart.